going on? Jermaine Johnson. Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by, I think the third time you've been on. Finally, we get to talk about some winning Jets football. Janae Coakley, SNY. Janae, how are we doing today?
I am doing awesome. And Will, again, I think this is my third time. I am so excited, like genuinely excited. And I get to talk to you and we get to talk about winning Jets football.
I know. It's exciting. It's funny. I think the first time you came on, we're like, oh, is Sam going to be here next year? Then it was like, this team's going to be, you know, frisky going into 2021. Now we get to talk about a team that could go into first place, going into next week. So let's start kind of back.
We're talking about going into first place.
Sitting at Thanksgiving.
Week 12? Week 11? Yes. Well, I don't know what week it is, but
at the Thanksgiving table talking about playoffs.
What? Sorry.
It's insane. I want to kind of just backtrack. I know we were kind of just joking about it and, you know, me and you sat together at the combine and we're like, oh, this is exciting. The Jets have a lot of potential. Let's see the draft. And you're sitting there in camp like, okay, this is a fun group. Mm-hmm. But I think even the most optimistic person's probably not sitting here November 17th going 6-3, could be potentially 7-3 going to this Patriots game. Are you shocked, surprised? Are you going to say you expected this? Like, where's your head at for the first 9 games?
Shocked. Like, listen, like we talked about, this team – they had good pieces and they're young and you saw them building gradually. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I thought maybe they would have 6 wins all season, but I thought that would be a good 6 wins. Like they're learning there. I am absolutely shocked at how quickly these young guys have like turned things around, they learned how to win. And listen, a lot of people will say, well, I mean, they beat like the third string quarterback. They beat like a second string quarterback. A win's a win in the NFL. And here's the deal. You got to learn how to win. And these young guys, they don't know any better. They're learning how to win and they're winning. And that's the coolest thing about it. I sat down with Quinnen Williams, interview will be on pregame show on Sunday. Just so I'm shouting that out right there. And he was awesome because I was talking to him. I was like, you know, Quinnen, I remember talking to you as a rookie. You sat down with me, you and Leonard. And now today, what's the biggest thing that has changed for you? And she goes, Janae, I look at some of these rookies and I like tell like Jermaine and Sauce, I'm like, you guys are leap years ahead of me when I was a rookie. He's like, I was so like confused and I had no idea. And I remember that like Steve McClendon and Leo were telling me, it's okay. You'll get it. He's like, I look at these guys and he's like, I came from Alabama. He's like, but when you look and I look at like these rookies that are coming in, he's like, they're just so good and they get it. And I think that's the best thing about it. Like these, and that's the most fun. Like they just get it and they understand how to win and they just are having a good time doing it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Something that I think you probably would see more than I would say pretty much anybody that it's just, you get to talk to these guys every week and it feels like they really have embraced this. Like they weren't here when the Jets weren't very good. You know, we were rooting for him and covering it and the whole thing and everyone's scarred more almost than the players are. And yes, there's a few guys, but even the Braxton Berrios, CJ Moses of the world weren't here that long before, this regime kind of took over. And it does feel like the same old Jets thing. I know Jamie Erdahl said on Good Morning Football, and it was like, they're just the Jets. Like there's no, for them, you know, what would Sauce Gardner know? Like he got here and they've won. So why would he know any different? Or
he actually said that to me on the, after they won, beat Miami, I got him on the field right after the game. And I'm like, you know, Sauce, this is the first time in 13 games that you guys have beaten Miami, like a division, or first time you've beaten a division opponent. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, I didn't know that. And like right there, it just clicked with me. I'm like, they don't care. They don't realize who, when they came to the Jets, that was the first time most of them even knew, watched any Jets film. So they didn't know about, you know, last year, the year before that, or they've lost 13 straight against, you know, a conference division opponent. They don't know that they haven't been very good in the same old Jets and they don't care. They're like, we don't care. Like that, half of them weren't even born back then. Think about it.
Yeah. You think about it. Look, like, you know, these guys were last time they were in the playoffs, what, you know, Sauce was in middle school, elementary school. So, you know, closer in age to your son than probably to
100%. I mean, think I got here in 2010. That was my first year. And they went, that's when they went to the AFC Championship game. That was the last time they went to the playoffs. 2010. Think about that. Sauce is, it's now what, 12 years later? Am I doing the math?
Yeah, 12 years later.
Sauce is what, 22? He's 10?
Quite.
Do you think he, I mean, he doesn't, you think he was paying attention to the Jets at 10 years old?
No. And look, I think, you know, the Jets haven't been on primetime, and we'll get to that, you know, and towards the end, they haven't been on primetime in a while. So like all you just, they're not in, they would not be in the forefront of your mind. And I think that's something that, you know, the way you change cultures, there's a lot of different things, you know, everyone always talks about, you know, getting the right guys in the building, all that stuff, but they've totally, like I said, other than a couple of guys, maybe Mosley, Berrios and Shepard, and maybe one or two others, Jeff Smith, like none of these got, these guys have only really experienced winning here, right? Like last year was obviously a building year. It's 1 year. It doesn't scar you. Whereas I think part of the problem you look around the NFL where teams consistently lose is like, it's the same guys. They only, you know, they get used to losing. You get used to winning. As you look at New England or other places, you get used to losing also. And I think that's something that'll be kind of huge going forward. I want to touch on Zach a little bit. And then we'll get the quarterback stuff out of the way. Cause it gets tedious to talk about. There's been some nice moments. There's been some moments that obviously against New England was not pretty. And even the Denver and Green Bay games were not pleasant on the eye. Do you expect Zach to take a bigger leap in the second half? Do you like what you've seen? Are you concerned? Like where's your head at, you know, surrounding the franchise quarterback?
I like the way Zach played last 2 weeks ago against Buffalo. I think if he can just, and I know people hate, well, he's managed a game, just win the game. You don't have to win the game. You don't have to put the team on your back. You got unbelievable defense. Just ride that. Mark Sanchez did, and look where it got him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think I like the way they worked with him, the way the game plan for him against Buffalo. I think he just needs to do that. I think the week before that, and I love how he bounced back from the week against the Patriots to the week against the Bills. I liked how he did that. And I think he needs to continue that and baby steps. And it's okay. He's taking baby steps. It's okay that he's not throwing bombs and like running in and at the end of the game, throwing a, you know, a 50-yard touchdown pass. He doesn't have to. Just rely on your running backs. You got some great targets with Garrett Wilson. Do what you need to do to win the game. You don't have to be a superstar or a hero. Manage the game. Because again, you have an unbelievable defense and you got some great talent on offense. Do what you did and win the game.
It's interesting. I look at a team like
Zach, throw the ball away. Don't worry about it.
Be boring. It's fine. Like he's only 19, 20 starts in this game. You know, I don't want to overhype this game because I do think, look, it's one of 17 and all that stuff and all those.
I know it was the Patriots. Don't you feel like they have to get that monkey off their
back?
It's
also, it's more just, it's for the Jets, but it's for Zach. Like, I think 44% of his career interceptions are all against the Patriots. It's really in those two games. And
yeah, but Bill Belichick loves young quarterbacks.
I feel like he ruined Sam. You look at the butt fumble. Like, every Jets quarterback feels like they got.
The ghost game, the butt.
Yeah. It's just, it's not, it's so, it's more of like, you win in New England, all of a sudden that's off your back. And now you can just, it's just Jets, Patriots, New York, Boston, the whole thing. But, you know, like I think with Zach, again, you mentioned it, you can be boring right now. It's okay. Why you look at a team like the Titans and, you know, there's a lot of comp, you know, Jeffrey Simmons and Quinton Williams comp and the running game and all this different stuff. The Jets have like such a high ceiling. I feel like that they're playing this well and their quarterback hasn't really clicked yet at their offense. And there's all this talent. You feel like there's so much, you know, more, you know, to be able to see. I want to ask you quickly on Robert Saleh, and then we'll kind of, you know, look towards the Patriots game. Do you feel like you've seen a different Robert Saleh this year? Because I feel like he feels like so much more comfortable in himself this year. I felt like last year was a lot of like learning. And this year you're seeing all the energy and emotion and he's getting better with the press and all this different stuff. I feel like you've just seen a little bit of a different Saleh, at least from my point of view.
I mean, maybe I still see him the same way, but I do agree with you that he is getting a little more comfortable. But again, you're coming to New York, like, you know the saying, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. New York media is tough. He was used to San Francisco. Players love him. Players play for him. He loves it. He's halfway through his second year. He had his defense, a complete turnaround. I mean, talk about an optimistic person. He always is a glass half full. Like he knew this was going to, you know, he's like, be patient. And you can't really be patient in New York. And then it clicked for these guys. And I actually just asked him on Wednesday, I said, you know, you're halfway through your second year as a head coach, and you completely have turned this team around. Like compared to, I go for you, and you always preach to patients. I'm like, what for you has been the biggest surprise? And I go, listen, I know what you're going to say. I know what you have to say. And he's not necessarily surprised. I'm like, all right, what are you most proud of? And he's like, that we have good guys in the building, and they bought into it. Cause like, it's sometimes really hard to get guys to buy into what you're selling. And they did, they truly. And again, I think Joe Douglas he does get credit, but I think Joe Douglas, the guys that he has found and put in this locker room, and the way that Saleh has been able to coach them and bring them together, is just remarkable. It truly is remarkable. I mean, you call them the baby Jets, but they're 6-3, Will. I still can't believe that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One of the youngest rosters in the NFL.
It's mind-blowing. And what's more even mind-blowing is that the division is this good. I think it's probably been the best division of football this year. Everyone's over 500. Everyone would be in the playoffs if they started today. And the Jets could be very well at the top. It's not like the whole division's having a shitty year. Everyone's 4-5. Like, it's not the NFC South this year where everyone's bad. The Bucs are in first, but like, they're not really, like, you don't feel great about them. No. It's like the Jets are potentially the best team in a division that has four of the 6 or 7 best teams in the conference. It's nuts.
I mean, when we're talking, think about that Miami game at the end of the season. That's probably going to be flexed. We're probably going to be playing at night, and it's going to mean something. And it could mean like both teams are making the playoffs.
Maybe you get a Saturday at flex would might be nice.
Oh, okay.
That would down in Miami. probably is trouble in Miami, but.
But I'm just saying, think about that. That's mind blowing to me. And then, like you said, if it ended right now, all four teams in the AFC East would be in the playoffs. And we're talking about the Jets moving up to first place if they win this week.
It'll be interesting.
I would have told you that at the beginning of the year. What would you have said to me?
I would probably have said, I'm not sure what you're drinking, but
just water.
Just water. I know, just water for today. Once they make the playoffs, I do think, and we'll kind of look towards this New England game. I still think the two things they've checked a lot of boxes this year of, you know, winning in September, being relevant, winning division game, being relevant in November, Thanksgiving, that in the Hunt graphic we all kind of dream about on Sunday football, seeing the Jets there. The last two things are finding out about Zach, which again we have another 8 games to kind of see. And then making the playoffs, right? And once you end that streak, like, I think the expectation, you can start to slowly change the expectation. You want to chase the division title. You want to win in January and February. But just to get this team, who's probably a little ahead of schedule, as you mentioned, some experience in the playoffs would be huge. My question kind of revolves around this Patriots game, because do you think it's more us and, you know, fans and people covering the team that are kind of hyping this up? Or do you feel like this game means something to the players? Because I know we mentioned, oh, it's not the same old Jets. They weren't here for that. But I feel like they should have won that game 2 weeks ago. I don't know how else to phrase it. I feel like they lost it. The Patriots didn't win it. Do you feel like they're going to be a little extra motivated, or for them it's just another week and kind of
I think they have to preach the another week. But I've started this covering this team in 2010. I've only seen them beat the Patriots twice. Twice. That is it in my 13 years of covering this team. And last season they got beat, was it by 40?
54-13, I believe.
Okay. I think that resonated, I can't even say the word, but you know what I'm saying. That the players thought about, don't tell me that CJ Mosley, and they did talk about it going into the game a couple weeks ago. I think they knew they should have beaten them last time. I think they knew they could have done it. I think they're trying to approach it 1 week at a time, one game at a time. The next game is most important, but you got first place on the line. You're going to Gillette Stadium, and it's against the Patriots, a team that has had your number. And again, not Sauce's number, not Garrett's number. Well, technically, yeah, because they've lost, they haven't beat them yet. I think for maybe the fans and for this organization, getting that monkey off their back, finally being able to say, yes, you beat the Bills. Which is a team, you beat the Dolphins. Now it's time for you to beat the Patriots, to check that off your box, to check it off. Listen, we've done it. We can do this. Yeah. And again, that beating last year, I just think still, how can CJ Mosley or Michael Carter or these guys like not be pissed off and not like be like, we're going up there and we're going to destroy them in their home field.
It's weird. They've been a much better road team this year than they have played at home. I know it's slightly skewed because Joe Flacco started the first couple of games and two of them are at home. They're two of their harder games. All that stuff is true. I get that.
Yeah, I'm worried.
But I, for whatever reason, I feel like very comfortable on the road this year, which you can tell me if I'm wrong. That's the one of the resemblances or whatever the right word is, 2009, 2010, is that team was so good, got so hot on the road. They liked it, you know, defense and run game travels. It's the whole kind of mantra. I tweeted this out. It's nuts. The last time the Jets won in Foxborough in a regular season game, Brett Favre, great guy, Brett Favre, was the Jets quarterback. So that was up in New England on Thursday Night Football, the Matt Castle
I've never
game.
Seen it in the 13 years that I've covered it.
You were covering the Colts back then.
Yep. Which they struggled a lot winning in Foxborough back then too. Yeah,
I know. They was going to say they struggled too. Well, I'll ask you about the Colts at the end, but no, in terms of kind of like looking forward here, do you still think the expectation is just getting the playoffs or do you think they have to change that mindset to go chase this division? Cause I know it's hard. You don't want to get your hopes up too much, but at the same time, why not? I feel like at this point,
I think at this point, the vision is in.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Grasp, like you can get it, like, so yeah, that better be right now going into this week. Your mindset should be let's win the division right now. Let's go to first place in the division, because then you can be guaranteed a playoff spot and then the playoffs fall on the line. So I think right now let's get the division and not chase a playoff spot. Let's just get it. Let's win the division because you're there. And if you would have told me week one that they had a possibility of winning this division with Buffalo, who is was one of the Super Bowl favorites, Miami, who's loaded with talent. And then you always got to, I mean, then you got the Patriots, which you always have Bill Belichick. Let's be realistic. I hate the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. I think maybe I'm more like, beat these mother effers. I hate them.
Like, I feel the same way. Trust me.
Lose against Buffalo. I didn't care about that, but beat the Patriots.
I know. It's what's also that two game swing, right? Of, you know, at 6-3, they win, they're 7-3. Now the Patriots don't have the tiebreaker over them. So God forbid it comes down to a tie. Like losing this game and then all of a sudden for the seventh spot and somehow the Patriots and the Jets are tied, the Patriots would have that advantage.
Patriots' defense is good. The Patriots aren't a bad team.
Yeah, Matt Judon's for real.
Yeah, like the Jets and the Patriots defense are very similar. So, I mean, everybody's like, oh, it's a down year for the Patriots. No, it's not. Let's be realistic. And I think that would, if the Jets can beat them, because they are a good team too.
Yeah, look, it must be nice to have your down. It must be nice to have your down year being the last 2 years are down years and they're combined 15-9 or whatever. It must be nice. Down years aren't picking the top three, but I guess I want to kind of just talk a little bit, kind of a couple of fun things here before we kind of, before we wrap up. I feel like I got pretty fired up watching. You get to work with some, you know, great people, you know, at SNY, whether it's, you know, Bart and Willie, Connor, obviously, you know, now and Gelbs and stuff. Bart was pretty fired up before the last Jets Patriots game. Are we going to get another fired up Bart Scott on Sunday, ready to run through a wall, put pads back on?
Like literally, I remember after game plan that week, because I said something, and he was like, and after the show, I was like, you hate this. He's like, I can't stand. I'm like, okay.
It dates like, back. Why? It dates He's back like, to I when, just... remember, do you remember that when the Patriots were undefeated? I don't know if you remember this. I just have a weird memory. It's the first memory I have of Bart Scott when he threw the flag at the ref on Monday Night Football. The Patriots are going for an undefeated season.
Yes, that was Bart Scott.
I thought it was Bart Scott.
I was with the Colts, so I wasn't covering.
Maybe it wasn't, but it was.
No, you're probably right. You know what? It was him. Was him because we did a funny thing about it. We did. You're right. It was him.
I have a weird memory. I'm not that smart, but I have a weird memory about like stupid football stuff that nobody cares.
You love your Jets.
Just sick problem, but it'll be interesting to see kind of the coverage around this too. Do you think if the Jets win Sunday, you'll start to see even more, I don't want to say respect nationally, but it still feels like people are like looking for a reason to be like, this season's kind of faulty. And while the Bills game gave people some, like, some respect for the Jets around the league, I still feel like until they beat the Patriots, as we're mentioning, like, we're still going to get that, oh, we couldn't beat the Patriots. It was a fluky win against the Bills.
You're still the little brother. You're still the little brother.
Right? That's what I feel. But meanwhile, the Giants have beat nobody. The Giants are not good, and they're 7-2, but they'll get all their respect. It's fun. It's how we expect it.
But the Giants have the Super Bowls to back it. And I'm not saying it was years ago, but they have that, the foundation. And so that's what Robert Saleh and the Jets are building. And again, I think if you check the box off, we beat the Patriots, then the next box is, okay, we win the division. Next box is, okay, we go to the playoffs. And this wasn't supposed to happen this year, Will. Let's be realistic. Now, I don't think even they'll say, no, that we're confident. There's no way they thought this team was going to be like this. No way. No, next year at this time, I think you had to, especially the way they started the season, 1-2.
Yeah, they didn't, like, after that.
And I know Joe Flacco was the quarterback.
You felt like they were giving up a lot of points still. They weren't really competitive in I guess they were semi-competitive in both games, but, like, both games were at home. The game was kind of over in the third quarter. You're like, all right, time that this might be ugly. And then that Pittsburgh game, it looked winnable, but you just really never knew. You didn't know what you were going to get from Zach.
You knew. Let's be realistic. As Jets has covering a team for this long, you're like, oh, here we go again. They're in it. You know, they were in it. You know, that, and they struggled in the fourth quarter. That was one of the things Robert Saleh needed to teach these young kids last year. You know, we need to learn how to close games. You got to learn how to get over that hump. You have to learn how to win a game. Well, that's what they did. They have learned how to win a game, that they're never out of it. In their minds, they're not out of it. They can be down by 40 and they're like, you know, we can still do this.
That Browns game was, I know it was improbable, and you can't live your life like that, whatever the right term is, but that's such a confidence booster for a young team of like, okay, we just saw the most improbable thing happen. Now if we're down 10, like, why can't we win? Might as well be, you know, being at 13 with whatever minute.
I remember I was in the tunnel. And so I go out, if they win, I get an interview on the field. So I went downstairs, I'm at the tunnel. And then I saw like, they're not going to win. Then all of a sudden I hear like the crowd just die down. Cause I was near the locker room at that point, watching it on but I'm behind. I'm like, what just happened? And they're like, Corey Davis just scored. I was like, what? So then I start going towards the tunnel. And I was like, oh crap, they missed that. They still needed a touchdown, right? Is that what it was? And then the onside kick, I was like, these fools are going to win this game. Like I'm not going to go out there because I don't want to jinx it. I'm like, but they're going to win this game. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was so, and you're just thinking, no. It's like, it kept going like, this isn't Jets. This isn't what's built. This is not supposed to happen with the Jets.
I know. It's been all year. It's felt like this is like the one last thing of, you know, oh, go to the Bills game. They just lost the heartbreaking game in New England. They're going to, you know, they're going to get killed here just because, you know, this is what's happened over the last couple of years. And they came out, you know, on fire. Am I crazy? That's probably one of the loudest I've heard MetLife in a long time. Like, there was serious energy in that building on, whatever it goes, 10 days ago. I haven't heard it. They get a home playoff game. That building is going to be an absolute zoo.
It better be.
I know. I'm also very tired. Just a side note. If you don't go to the games, please don't complain about how many people are or not there. You can just simply go to the games or not sell your tickets. It's not my problem.
Exactly.
I go. It's not my problem. I want to ask you quickly about, obviously you used to work for the Colts and cover the Colts. Mm-hmm. Were you happy for Jeff Saturday, but annoyed at the process? Are you kind of just like, whatever, let's see what happens. He's just an interim coach, or were you kind of feel passionately one way or the other?
I mean, I love Jeff Saturday. He is one of the coolest, classiest, awesome guys. Like, I would love for him. I mean, you're rooting for him but again, as you know, my husband's a coach. Like, I feel like I don't like the way the process. I mean, I don't, Reggie Wayne's on that team too. And he has just as many, and he's been an interim coach and like working his way up. And I think it's, you just can't put people in because, and again, Jeff won. I'm so happy for him. And I'm so like, I'm torn because I love Jeff Saturday. But what is that saying to other people that have worked their butts off? And Bill Cowher was like, it's an insult to like the coaches. And I kind of agree with him. And again, I love Jeff and he did a great job and he is a leader, but again, he was just, he was a high school coach and was an analyst at ESPN.
It's a tough thing. It's, you look at both sides of it, and like at one point,
I see Ron Middleton, who's awesome. Like,
yeah, it's like you're an interim coach, so I get it. It's not the full hiring process, but the one guy, and I'm glad you mentioned Reggie Wayne. He was the one name. Everyone brought up all these other names, like you're going to recycle with John Fox for the 800th time, or it's another Gus Bradley. Like, that to me doesn't. I get that part.
What are you saying? If you're going to do
Reggie Wayne's there, that's
Reggie Wayne point. Is the exact thing as Jeff Saturn. He has just as many Pro Bowl. I mean, I'm assuming Pro
Bowl. It's got to be close. Yeah.
I mean, he holds records with the Colts. Like, he was one of their, and he's on the staff. Like, yeah. And guys, people loved Reggie just as much as they love Jeff. Like, yeah, I saw the way, but again, I love Jeff. Like,
yeah, it's just, you put it in between. It's just, and then
it becomes. I'm torn.
Yeah. And then it's like, you're looking I'm so at rooting for him. I'm retired.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I texted some of my friends that are there, and I was like, I'm sorry, did the Colts just become the Jets, and the Jets just became the Colts?
Yeah, no,
is something that would happen with our Jets.
Yeah, look, we've seen it, and it was interesting that the Reggie Wayne thing is just interesting, because it's, you're looking at a Black dude that's on the staff, it's the same thing, and then it opens so many doors. But I actually thought it was interesting that Pat McAfee made one point, and then we'll move off this. He was talking about how this actually might be really good for kind of minority hires and stuff. If the league is predominantly more Black, and if guys are going to start getting jobs without experience as coaches, could it open the door to more guys that want to get into coaching that, like, maybe like similar to Jeff Saturday? I'm just using a Ryan Clark, for example, on ESPN or something. If you want to get into coaching, does this open the door for him now to get a job that he might not have been able to get? I don't know if that's true. It was just an interesting point. I didn't think about it that way. I'm not sure that'll work that way, but it's nice to be positive, I guess, about the situation.
Oh, yeah. And again, I love Jeff Saturday. I think you set a really bad precedent.
Yeah. It's just felt, I don't know. And then the press conference was gross. I was, you know, I guess.
I'm like, what is going on there? What is going on there? Stop that.
It's, you look at some of these organizations, right? Like, you look in New England, you look in, sometimes it might be the star quarterback covers up for a lot. Even Green Bay, it feels like, last couple of years, you look at Indy or New England, even at some points, like Tom Brady and Rodgers and Manning, like, I feel like they might have covered up for a lot of other things. Makes your job a little easier when you have generational 100%.
Guys. When you have years and years of, and again, the Colts are supposed to have Andrew Luck. Let's not forget about that.
I know. Well, then he blamed Andrew Luck for retiring early, which was weird because he didn't build a good offensive line. Chris Ballard, your job should be on the line, by the way. No one wants to talk about that. Josh McDaniels, are you surprised quickly that Josh McDaniels has been not successful in Vegas, just because it feels like every Belichick, it's like Belichick's so successful in all his coaches, generally speaking. But
people try to be Belichick, and you can't. There's one Belichick, just be yourself. And I'm kind of happy that he isn't. I mean, I'm not a big fan of his, but they should have kept the coach that brought him to the playoffs.
I know. Makes no sense. I don't understand why you do that.
Everything that team went through. Like the whole John Gruden thing, then the player that killed somebody.
Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, Ruggs.
It's not funny. It's just, it's what a ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just dumb stuff. Sorry, I keep swearing.
Nah, it's fine. You can let one fly.
My mouth is terrible, and I wonder where my 4-year-old gets it sometimes. But it's like, why you let that guy go?
Yeah, it doesn't, there's a lot of things that sometimes don't make sense. And now,
way above my pay grade.
Now they can't really fire him because apparently they don't have the amount of cash it's needed. It's a mess. I'll ask you, we'll finish with two or three quick ones. Favorite, I'll give you, you can give two. Who are like the two people on the team that you most enjoy being talked to? It doesn't have to be, you know, the funniest or the best or whatever, but who are the two people that, I feel like Michael Carter, I'd love to have him on the pod.
I love Michael Carter. I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you, Will. There are so many guys. Like, I love Braxton Berrios, Sheldon Rankins.
Sheldon's awesome.
DJ Reed, oh, one of my favorites. Michael Carter, I love Breece Hall. I love Garrett Wilson. Like, CJ Mosley, like, absolutely one of my favorites. Like, I'm not just George Fant, JFM. Quinnen is just adorable. Quincy, oh my God. Again, I can keep naming them. Like, and I'm not just saying this because, like, I genuinely like all of these guys. Like, genuinely are like, you are really good guys.
Yeah, it's a group that it's felt like it's very easy to root for. I know I always drop baseball references on this. This feels very 2017 Yankees, where they were such a likable team for once. It was like the Yankees are likable. It's all these young guys. It was, you know, Judge and Gary Sanchez and all these guys. And it was just, they were a likable group. And, you know, sometimes these things change over time. I think the Jets, you know, in your first year here, is very veteran heavy. Yes, there were some very likable guys, but that team was like more Rex was the story almost than the team. It feels kind of the opposite now, where Sal is fun.
Like when I got here with Rex, it was an already built team. Like it was a team that was built that had to win now. Again, and I only covered them that second AFC championship game. So, but you had like the Thomas Jones, the Tony Richardsons, the Brick, the Nick, the, you know, David Harris, the Bart, the Revis. Like here you have these guys that are babies. Like they're just building that foundation. And they're just really Sauce. Another fun guy. Like they're just nice kids. They're not like Garrett will come and talk to you and have like, we talk about his hair because he has this great hair. And he's like, and I go, you have hair like my daughter. Like you got to try this Weed Ad product. Like Michael Carter was commenting on my shoes the other day. Like they're just cool kids.
They're all just young guys.
Kids because I could have birthed them. Okay.
Yeah. They're literally like,
they could be my child. Like literally be my child.
They're literally, they're 21, 22, 23. I think that's what makes it so exciting. Final two here. A, did the Jets finish the job? Did they get to the playoffs? Like, where do you feel confident they're going
to
get there?
I do. I think they'll get to the playoffs. But here's my answer to that. Will they finish the job? I think they've already exceeded their job this year.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, there'll be a disappointment and all that stuff, but I think if they are still playing meaningful games in December, by the end of December, if that comes down to the final week, you've got to be proud of what this team has done. Yeah. I mean, they've exceeded expectations. They did their job and now they're moving on to their next job. So that's my
answer. Yeah, no, I'm leaning towards just find a way in the playoffs. If they get anything, if anything above that at this point is great, but like if you can get that experience and then you build on it and make the one or two deals.
And I do think they will. I do think they do make it to the playoffs.
I think there's three winnable games. I want to ask you quickly, you covered Darrell Revis, you covered Nick Mangold, the Brickshaw Ferguson. Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, obviously the other two guys go in the Ring of Honor. A, am I crazy that the crowd's going to be the most excited for Revis to come back? I feel like he has not been back. Mangold's been around a lot in the bigger show, but like Revis coming back is probably, in my mind, is the best Jet ever in terms of like physical actual player. Do you think the crowd's going to be the most excited to have Revis come back? For whatever reason, I just feel like people.
I think you're right because he's kind of stayed away from the. I mean, he kind of became a recluse, and I'm not a recluse from football. Like, we haven't really seen or heard from him. Rich Cimini just did a great article on him and it was nice actually hearing like from him what he had to say. I think at that point the Jets could be 7-3.
Yep.
Right after
haven't been at home for right after Thanksgiving, hadn't been home for a month.
Haven't been home in what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks.
Almost 4. Yeah, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. But like, I don't know. I'm excited for that.
And you're right. Revis, I mean, he has a nod into the Hall of Fame. I mean, nominated for the Hall of Fame. Like that's up there with Curtis Martin.
Yeah. And it'll be cool to see. Cause again, like we really haven't heard from, I mean, he's done a couple of things here or there, but plus with the way Sauce is playing, it was all this Revis comps. It'll be really interesting. If they're going 7-3 in that game.
Well, Jordan Whitehead is his first cousin.
Which is crazy. He's got the Revis. No one talks about that. It's so weird. It was like a story for 2 seconds. I don't know.
I did a Getting to Know You with him. And I said, one of my questions was, you know, your cousins with Revis, first cousins. Yep. And I said, so what are you taking to his island? And I remember in a sleeping bag, I'm like, well, are you getting off the island? He's like, yeah, I'm getting off the island. He's like, I was a receiver back in the day.
Yeah. You don't want to be put on Revis Island. You don't come back, but obviously it's good to be able to, you know, catch up with you. And the Jets actually being good makes this a lot more fun. You know, obviously everyone already watches you, everything on SNY, whether it's, you know, Jets pre and post, Jets game day and Game Pass, whatever it's the right name is, at Geico Sports Night, you know, all the stuff.
It's not Geico anymore. It's Honda.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I drive a Honda, so.
Didn't know that either until a couple days ago. I'm like, oh, we changed it? Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go. Jets World. They got asked for a pay raise now that, you know, the new sponsor comes in.
Can I get a Honda CVR or CRV?
Yeah, I know. You can't, you know, it's what you got to do. You got to leverage yourself. Yeah, sponsor this podcast. No, I appreciate you hopping on. And, you know, we'll have to catch up after. Hopefully they're in the playoffs.
I know. And can you tell Bob and Mike I said hello?
Yeah, I will. I'll make sure to give them some crap.
Yes. And Bob, huge, him and Michael Clemens. You got to ask him about Michael.
I will. Mike. Another
who's
fun
awesome.
Player.
Who's awesome? Who's actually
gonna,
a really cool dude.
I was going to say another fun guy who they got for Chris Herndon, by the way, who is now suspended for 8 games. So another Joe Douglas golf clap.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, not great by Chris Herndon, but appreciate it. We'll be back later this week.